your hymn books to number 127. 127 in the hymn books. Hallelujah. What a Savior. We are ready this month to start the studies on the book of Hebrew. Just a few studies, five of them, on the greatness of our God because of our resurrection and Passover week on April 23rd. And I'd like to, this month, concentrate on the greatness of our Savior. And so we're going to sing now, Hallelujah, What a Savior, 127. What a Savior we have in Christ Jesus. Please turn your hymn books to number 42 now. All hail the power. I think this is one remarkable and a gorgeous hymn that will be like just a crown of introduction through the greatness of our God as we study Hebrews chapter 1. Will you stand, please, as we sing together number 42, All Hail the Power.
Oh, God.
look to the Lord in prayer this morning. I want the church to know that we have preparations for 3 months of a church calendar, and there are one printed in the back bulletin of the church and one inserted for you right here for the month of April, and so you can have no excuse in missing the meetings of our church. We want to be helpful to you ahead of time so that you know where the activities are. Also, I want you to know that my daughter is improving tremendously. And I'm looking forward, God's willing, this coming Sunday to after the morning service to drive to Oregon and pick up my wife and bring her back. All right? And so I plan to enjoy the trip back with my wife, making two or three stations and a stop on the way. Some of the people call me and say, Raquel is really feeling the tiredness of the activities, include the pastor of the church, that you better come and get your wife. And so I think it's time for Raquel to come home. I also need it too. So, all right, let's pray. You have been gracious to us, Father, from the very beginning we started our church, Bethel Baptist. You give us a place to meet in Gilroy and the Coast Federal Bank. You give us a place right here in Morgan Hill, our own place, your place. And so our heart is grateful. And for whatever future development you bring to us, we're also grateful. Because our experience is this, that you always will give us a place to meet. And we thank you, Father, richly. Father, we pray that as we open the Word of God today, the greatness of Jesus may be seen. And a heart may have an attitude of surrender spirit to the Lord. There will be people who never believe in Jesus. They are religious, perhaps, but they never believe that Jesus is God. That Jesus is the only mediator between God and man. That Jesus never surrenders his priesthood. Oh, Father, help us to see Jesus as we never did before as we study the book of Hebrews in our church morning services. Help the choir to praise you and to honor you as did last Sunday. We thank you, Lord, for those who are listening through the tape ministry and have called for comments about how we praise God. We thank you, Lord, for that. We thank you, Father, for those who are listening over the radio station KKMC. We thank you, Father, for the large audience over the internet service of KKMC. And Father, starting next month, we are thankful that the PVC of Michigan will broadcast our tape recorded of the church. And we will be in public television at 8 p.m. every Saturday night. Lord, how grateful we are for the open doors, mysteries of God, the open doors for our church, a tiny tingling church sounding the message of Christ across America. How grateful we are. Father, our interest is not to be the most popular church, but our interest is that somebody may be saved. We like people to know the Lord. We like our nation to amend their ways and come back to God. Oh, Father, thank you for the open door you have given us here at Bethel. We thank you for the Sunday school hour that we already have. We thank you for the morning service. We thank you for the afternoon service at Pacific Hill. We thank you for the activities of the young people in the afternoon and for the evening service today, where we're going to see the greatness and the power of history revealed by a deacon of a church, Stephen. Father, how gracious you are that you allow us to believe in the Lord Jesus. We were dead in trespasses and sin like anybody else. And that's why, Father, we sympathize with people who believe not, because we were there. And it is because of your power and your mercy and your grace that you touch our life and somewhere, somehow, our mind changed direction and we start believing. Oh God, thank you. Cause others to believe too. Father, operating a church runs expenses, and your people are always faithful. Whether it is in benevolence or whether it is in church building or in the support of the general fund, your people are abundant to us. And as a pastor of the church, I'm proud that these people here at Bethel are mature people. Even people in the Tate ministry have sent us offerings, and in the internet. And we are grateful for those who can, because it's costly to be on the air. But Father, above anything else, we are grateful that you provide a work for us so that we can bring an offering to you. So bless the offering, bless the giver. And today, Lord, I'm so proud that three young people of our church will bring the offertory after I finish praying. These are people from our church. These are people that grew up in our church. These are people who know Jesus, young people who serve you. Oh, God, bless them that they may play for you the best of their life. And now, Lord, we are so delighted that you answer prayer. I'm grateful for the recovery of my daughter, and I pray for my wife that as soon as possible, actually the next week, you will bless us with her return here to the piano, here to the church, and to me as a wife. I miss it so badly. Thank you, Lord, for the strength you have given us. And thank you, Father, that the duties of parenthood doesn't end when people get married. Actually begin a new ball game. And thank you that you provide for Raquel in a spirit of service and love for our daughter. We are now, Father, grateful for a church that is a family. We are no club. We are no social acquaintance. We are family. And when somebody in the family is hurt, we all hurt. And when somebody in the family rejoices, we all rejoice. And we are glad to see Prudence back after being injured. And we pray for Ann Peretto, who I know that she is at home sick. And so, Father, we pray for her. And Lord, we pray for Jean Boots, that he may recover from his back too. Oh, Father, bless those who are with physical problems, especially those who are with emotional problems. You only know them, and you have the power to bring them back. We are grateful for you, God, because you are our God. Bless us as we fellowship. In Jesus' precious name, amen. May we see that.
Thank you so much, choir. We ask you now to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews, the first chapter, verses 1 through 14. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 883. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Hebrews 1, the entire chapter, verses 1 through 14. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels spirits, and his ministers a flame of fire. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath appointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Blessed be the word of God. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, with never-ending gratefulness, we come into your presence because of the merits and finished work of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you that you have given us your inerrant word in the Bible. We thank you for the great comfort and rest you have given us in the knowledge that this covenant cannot be broken. We thank you for your graciousness toward us. When we were only deserving of your wrath, that you sent your Son to purge our sins. How amazing is your grace that you have made us joint heirs with him who created the worlds and is the heir of all things. We pray now for your servant and our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he brings this tremendous news from the book of Hebrews, that you would bless his preaching to our ears and give us understanding, and also to any who may not know you, both here and on the radio, that you would be merciful to them and grant them repentance and the gift of faith, that they would be saved from the wrath to come. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Thank you, my brother. And Pastor, we'll use the microphone on the pulpit today so that you don't have to do any switching. This month of April, in which we bring this Bible study to you, is a month in which on April the 23rd, we have the Passion Week. In the Passion Week, we celebrate, according to the chronology of the setting of the moon in the Hebrew calendar, the Passover. And the Passover that we celebrate is so special because it is the Passover in which Jesus Christ resurrected 2,000 years ago. And so it is a time of rejoicing for us Christians, because we do fellowship, all Christians, Roman Catholics and Protestant Christians, we all celebrate Christ resurrected. Christ is not dead, he is alive. That is the statement by all Christians. And so I want to celebrate it with you. And I want to do it from the book of Hebrews in the Bible. Because if you ever read the Bible in the Old Testament, it's very confusing, especially for someone who is not familiar with the Old Testament. But if you read the Old Testament, and then especially the book of Leviticus, and then you read the book of Hebrews, explain the entire Old Testament and explain to you every detail of the Hebrew nation. Now, I plan to have 5 sermons on the greatness of Jesus. And the book of Hebrews was written in this way. In chapter 7, verse 22, Jesus is greater than the people of Israel. In chapter 8, verse 6, Jesus is greater than the old covenant that God did with Israel. Remember that circumcision came to be because God established circumcision with the Israelites as a sign of God's covenant. In chapter 9 and in verse 11, God, Jesus is greater than the high priest of the Jewish people because he is from the order of Melchizedek. And so no man in this earth shall take the place of a high priest because he is the high priest and he is not alive. He is not dead. So I plan to enjoy myself. I already enjoy in this study. On Wednesday I was glowing because I finished the study on Wednesday morning. I usually start tonight, 3 or 4 hours, and then every day until I have a glimpse of what the Bible says. And I'm very, very happy to present to you today the first sermon and the reading that our brother have done for us. And the thought is this: Christ is greater than the angels. Now, for us in America, we think of angels with white dress and wings. That's not the picture of the Bible of angels, neither the picture in the Hebrew mind. Angels were superior beings that God used for many purposes, as we're going to see it today. And they are far away from the picture of an angel with wings and a face that looks so sweet and kind. And some of these angels were bowl of wrath as God's instruments. And so today we're going to see why Jesus Christ is greater than the angels. In the scripture that our brother read in Hebrews chapter 1, there are six affirmations. There are six quotations from the Old Testament that the writer of the book of Hebrews said Jesus is greater than the angel because, and he made six quotations of the Old Testament so that he can prove that Jesus is greater than the angels. And we're going to try in this half hour to assimilate these as much as we can. All right? Let's work together. Jesus Christ is greater than the angels because, number one, he had a more excellent name. Verse 4 and verse 5 in chapter 1. Let's look on it. Chapter 1, verse 4, verse 5 in Hebrews says, being made, talking about Jesus, so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. And then the question of the book of Hebrews, which is a quotation of the Old Testament. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Two quotations of the Old Testament are mentioned in this area. Now, Christ is called the Son. And the first time the Bible called Christ the Son of God is in the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms in chapter 2. And the book of Psalms in chapter 2 and in verse 7. You find that the Lord Jesus is portrayed there as the Son. Psalm 2 and verse 7. This is known in theology circles as the decree of God. God has decreed and he has established. Look at Psalm chapter 2 and verse 7. I will declare the decree, not many, but the decree. All right? The Lord has said unto me, and this is a prophecy about Jesus, thou art my son. Now, I read from Psalm 2:7. If you move your Bible back to Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 5, you find that the writer makes a quotation of this psalm. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son. And so we read in Hebrews chapter 1 and in verse 4 and 5 that Jesus have a more excellent name than the angels. Why? Because God called Jesus my son, and he never called the angels my son. Now I want to make a clarification. God did call the angels son only once when they were all together. Go with me to the book of Job, one book before the book of Psalm, in chapter 1 and in verse 6. There is the drama of Job, a man in the Bible who suffers so much. And this is a book that's just before the book of Psalm. In chapter 1 and in verse 6, you find the name son for the angels, but as a group, collectively. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present himself. That's the name for the angels. And so, collectively, may be the term sons of God for the angels. But individually, no one angel in the scripture is called the son of God. Now, to make this a reality for Christianity today, because the Jewish people, they read Psalm 2 and they say, well, this is a prophecy about the Messiah, and nothing is said in the New Testament about the Son of God. They made a mistake. Look with me in the book of Romans in chapter 1 and in verse 4. In his resurrection, Jesus received back from the Father the eternal glory and was called the Son of God. Romans chapter 1 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul explained to us that in the resurrection, the Lord Jesus received that glory of Psalm 2 and in verse 7. Look at what the Bible says in Romans 1 and in verse 4. And declared to be the Son of God. If you have a King James Bible like I do, and by the way, I checked this with the Nacra Columna, which is the old Roman Catholic Bible, and they have it exactly the same. I checked this with other ancient manuscripts, the same, the Son of God in capital, declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by what? By the resurrection of the dead. We studied today in Sunday school the power of God. What blocks the power of God in the life of people? It's unbelief, of course. It's unbelief. And here's what it is. Jesus Christ is better than the angels because he has a better name. The name that God gave Jesus is Son of God. All right? And now you can see why Jesus is better than the angels, even though the angels are powerful, even though the angels are great instruments in the hands of God, and they are in the throne of God today, worshiping God, eye to eye with God. Jesus has a better name than the angels. Number two, Christ is greater than the angels because he is the firstborn who receive worship. Look at him back in Hebrews chapter 1 and now verse 6. He is the firstborn who receive worship. And for you Americans, this means nothing. But I explain it in a minute and we'll glow with great minute. Now, when you have a child, I met an Iranian pastor yesterday as I preached in the banquet in the Hilton Hotel in Oakland, and he said, I want to have the firstborn, and his eyes glow. And I know what that means for an Iranian to have the firstborn. All right? You will see what that means. For us, you know, you have 10 children, everybody is the same, not in the Hebrew category. All right? Hear this. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 6. And again, when he, capital H, please, that's Jesus. And again, when he, said the scripture, bring in, look at in capital letters, first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. Do you see it? When he bring Jesus into the world, God called him now the first begotten of the Father in another scripture. And God established that the angels will worship him. You know, you only worship somebody superior to you. The Bible tells us in Exodus that we should not worship anything in heaven, anything on the earth, or anything under the earth. We don't worship the cross. We don't worship a statue. We don't worship a picture. We don't worship anything. That's what the Bible said. You don't worship anything. You worship God. And the Bible said here that God said he brings the Son and he called him the firstborn, and the angels worship him. So he, Jesus, is superior to the angels because he's called the firstborn who received worship. Now, Pastor, what does that mean? Bring it to us. Well, the term firstborn in the Bible does not mean born first. The term firstborn in the Bible does not mean born first. Let me show it to you. Go to Psalm 89, verse 27. Psalm 89, verse 27. If I say the name Solomon, everybody knows Solomon, son of David, the greatest king ever existed, said Jesus. The greatest man, said Jesus. In political arena, Solomon conquered the entire area. I wish he was here. He will solve the problem with the Arabs in 2 minutes. He will marry somebody and get the whole thing done. All right? Solomon have a way of political affairs. He married the daughter of a king, and then he made peace with everybody. No wonder the Bible said he have 1,000 women. All right, here's what it is. Solomon in the Bible is called the firstborn. Psalm 89, verse 27. Also I will make him, King Solomon, my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. And he was. Now, was Solomon born first? No. Go with me to First Chronicle in the book of history of the Old Testament, in First Chronicle chapter 3. And then you will find that Solomon is number 10 in the history, not the first. Let me show it to you. First Chronicles in chapter 3, verse 1. Now, these were the sons of David. As you know, Solomon was the son of David, which were born unto him in Hebron. That's the city that David came into Palestine. The firstborn, Ammon, and Ahinoam, and Jerusalemites. The second, Daniel, of Abigail, the Carmelite. The third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adoniah, the son of Haggith. The fifth, Stephatiah of Abital. The sixth, Ephraim, by Iglah, his wife. And the six were born unto him in Hebron. And there he reigned 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years. And these were born unto him in Jerusalem. Now, number 7, Shimeah. Number 8, Shobah. Number 9, Nathan. And number 10, Solomon. So you see, Solomon was number 10 in the chronology of the children of David. But the Bible said that God decreed that Solomon will be a firstborn, the title of a firstborn. Now, what does that mean? The title means is a title of rank and honor. The firstborn is the only child that received the inheritance of the family and the special blessing of the family. Whatever the father have accumulated, whatever the king have, goes only to the firstborn. And so when the father makes a title and give the title of firstborn to Solomon, he blasted the other 9 and made Solomon the one who inherits everything they have. Now, Jesus is called the firstborn. There is no other person nominated by God spiritually that is called the firstborn. Now, why? Well, some examples. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of all creation. Colossians chapter 1 verse 15. Who is the image of the invisible God? Jesus Christ. The image of the invisible God, the firstborn, said the scripture, of every creature. Christ is before the creation. Christ was in the throne of God, and nothing happened in this earth. No creation took place until Christ Jesus there designed it. This is the firstborn, a title for Jesus. Christ is the firstborn from the dead. You are in verse 15. Move your eyes to verse 18. And he is the head of the body. Jesus is the head of the church. Was the head of the church then. Is the head of the church now. And will be the head of the church until he comes. He is the head of the church. Nobody questioned this. The church who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Now, there were other people resurrected. Elijah was resurrected before Jesus. But Elijah is not called the firstborn. The only person that is called the firstborn from the dead is Jesus, because in his title, he carried the responsibility of his work. And now the Bible, remember, in Hebrews said, in Hebrews 6, said that he will be firstborn, and the angels need to worship him. And the angels did. Go with me to the Gospel of Luke, please. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 2, and in verse 13, and in verse 14. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 13, and verse 14. Look what the Bible said. And suddenly, when Jesus was born, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, the angels are looking to Jesus. And in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 verse 14 we read, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man. They were praising God because of Jesus. And so Jesus is greater than the angels because he received worship from the angels. Number 3, Jesus is greater than the angels because he is served by the angels. Look at right here in verse 7. Hebrews 1, go back to Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 7. And of the angel he said, who maketh his angels as spirits and his ministers flame of fire? Now, he is served by the angels. The writer makes a quotation of Psalm 104 and verse 4. If you move your Bible to Psalm 104 and verse 4, here is the prophecy about the Messiah. Here is the information the Jewish people have before Jesus was born, and they ignore it about Jesus. In Psalm 104 and in verse 4, look at what the Bible said. Who maketh his angels a spirit, his ministers a flaming fire. Exactly as the book of Hebrews in chapter 1 expresses. So angels are created as spirits. See, they have no body, though they can assume human forms when they minister here on earth. And they did it to Abraham, for example, in Genesis chapter 19. They did it to Moses in Exodus chapter 3 and so on. But the angels are a spirit. They have no wings and no color and nothing like that. They are spirits of God. They are working. And these angels minister to Jesus. Now, is any record about that? Certainly it is. Move your Bible in Matthew chapter 4. You remember when Jesus was tempted in Matthew chapter 4? And in verse 11, the Bible said that after Jesus beat Satan to death, 10 to 0 over there, remember? Satan trying to get Jesus from this side and get Jesus from the other and get Jesus from the other side. And Jesus said, thou hast been written. He used the word of God to beat Satan to death. Look at what happened after the temptation in verse 11. Then the devil leave him, and behold, angels came and minister unto him, unto Jesus. So in other words, minister is a word, an English word, for the word serve. Here in America, we change that word. For example, in government, a president takes office and he names his secretaries, a secretary of state, secretary of work. That means workers. He named his workers. I don't know if they work here in America, but they're supposed to, all right? In another country, this is called ministers. In my country, the Ministry of War, the man who's going to work on the affairs of war. A minister is not a title of position, it's saying it's a worker. It's a worker. And so the angels work on behalf of Jesus. And so, because the angels serve Jesus, Jesus is superior to the angels. All right? Now we do number four. He is God enthroned and anointed. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 1. So number one, he got more excellent name than the angels. Number two, he is the firstborn, and therefore he received worship. Number three, he is served by the angels. And number four, he is God enthroned and anointed. And verse 8 said, but unto the Son, I'm reading Hebrews 1:8, unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God. There are some people who said that the Bible, we have them about two blocks from here, the Bible does not say that Jesus is God. And as a pastor, I have the obligation to mark those who cause problems in the kingdom. And I tell you why these people, having this scripture, they deny it. Now, this is a quotation. This is not just a writing of Paul. This is a quotation of Psalm 45. So let's go over there, Psalm 45, verse 6 and verse 7. Psalm 45, verse 6 and verse 7. Look at what the Bible said in Psalm 45, verse 6. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. So I pick up a Bible from this Jehovah Witness. And the Bible said, thy divinity is forever and ever. Well, I don't know how can they separate divinity of God. But one thing is to say thy divinity. Another thing is to say God. And so they took the liberty to correct the Old Testament, which in all the denominations, St. Augustine, the father of the doctrine of Roman Catholicism, in many areas, good doctrine, he established these as a record of infallible. These cannot be even discussed. It's so pure. The copy of the manuscripts of the Vatican are so clear. The oldest manuscript, clear, have these, thy throne, O God. And these people, without fear of God, they have changed the word, O God, for the divinity. No wonder when you make a mess in the Old Testament, you go wrong in the New Testament. And see, the New Testament is contained in the Old Testament. And then the New Testament explains the Old Testament. And so if you change the Old Testament, there is no explanation in the New Testament, so you have to change it again. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. But unto the Son, he said, thy throne of God. And see, Jesus is God. And what that means then, he is greater than the angels. I tell you why. Angels minister and worship God. Look at Revelation chapter 5. Go to the last book of the Bible in Revelation chapter 5. And in Revelation chapter 5 and in verse 11, the Bible said this clearly, and I beheld, said John speaking, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, thousand of thousands, saying with a loud voice, verse 12, worthy is the Lamb. You see that? That was slain to receive power and honor and glory and blessing. These are the angels. Why they say this? Because Jesus God. Jesus God. You change the Bible, you make a mess of your life, and you make a mess of the understanding. So Jesus is greater than the angels because he is God. Not only that, in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 10, all the way to verse 12, Jesus is greater than the angels because he is the eternal creator. You know, those people who believe in evolution, they do believe in evolution. Not only they are wrong scientifically, but they are dead spiritually. See, anybody who believes in evolution is somebody who doesn't have Christ Jesus in their heart. Is somebody, I don't care if he's Protestant or he's Catholic or whatever he is, he doesn't have Christ Jesus in the heart. Because Jesus the Creator. Look at here, verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning has laid the foundations of the earth. He is the architect, in another part of the Bible said. And the heavens are the works of thy hands. Wow. Verse 11. They shall perish, but thou remainest. I mean, the heavens will go away, but no, Jesus, the creator. And they shall wax old as does a garment. And as a vesture shall thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fall. I'm no glad that Hebrew 13 and verse 8 said, thou, Jesus, is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Because he's the creator. This earth get older. That's true. The Bible said the earth get older. Some people worry because the ocean getting too close and it's taking 1 inch every 100 years from the state of California. I tell them, don't worry about it. Worry the day that in one split of a second, the whole thing will cave in and disappear. What are you going to do? So we're going to fly. For how long? I tell you, people are crazy. When you have no Jesus, you are crazy. But when you have Jesus, everything fit together. He is the architect of creation. And no angel has created. This is a commentary on Psalm 110 and verse 1. I don't have the time to go over there and reason. But this quotation, this is a quotation of Psalm 110 and verse 1. And I tell you, he's the creator. Therefore, Christ is greater than the angels. Why, Pastor? Because he's the creator. And being the creator, he's the beginning and he's the end. Look at what Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8 said. Clearly, the Bible established that he's the creator, and therefore, being the creator, he's the beginning and he's the end. Revelation 1:8 said about Jesus, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. And so Jesus Christ is the eternal creator. Now finally, number 7, Christ is sovereign. The angels are servant. Verse 13 and verse 14. But to which, going back to Hebrews, to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand. Now again, why the prosecutor in a court in the United States sits on the right hand from you? Because he's the authority. Is the authority. The right hand means the authority. In my house, I sit down at the dinner table at the right hand of my father. I don't think you take notes of this in your home. Your children sit any place. Only the older child sit at the right hand of the father. Only the only child. See? I think people here sit any place they want to. But no, so in the Bible. The older child sit at the right hand because he's the servant of the house until he become the head of the house. And when my father passed away in 1968, I was in the Navy, United States, serving America, and I got the news. Then my mother said, well, you know what to do. That means I had to provide a salary for my mother for the rest of her life. And I did. And we live in an apartment. We cannot save money. We had to have two salaries, one for us and one for her. But that's established in the Bible. No welfare. No, that's business. No, we will save a lot of taxes if we assume Bible responsibility. I tell you. This business of welfare and union and all this is a junk the man trying to fix. But when a family, the Bible provides, that's what the Jewish people are always rich because they follow the Bible structure that the family provides for itself. And now we understand that Jesus sit down at the right hand of the Father. And then the Bible says, I will make thy enemies thy footstool. And so God is saying that Jesus is sovereign. And what place take the angel in this? Look at verse 14. Are they not, they the angels, all ministering spirits? Send forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Angels are ministering spirits. And the emphasis here is that Jesus is the power of God, sitting at the right hand of God, as the Bible said at the very beginning of Hebrews chapter 1. And the angels are just spirits serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, can you tell me, Pastor, some of the power of Jesus? I tell you. You know, there's some people who pray. I met somebody yesterday. He said, Pastor, I belong to a Roman Catholic Church, and I pray to Mary to heal me. I said, well, if I give you a better name, will you pray for? He said, what better name than Mary? Let me show you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. So let me give you this. No charge. I said, here it is. Romans 8, verse 34. Who is that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yet rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God. Remember that we read in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13, is at the right hand of God. And what he's doing over there? He also makes what? Intercession for us. He is the mediator. He is the one who prays for you. He is the one who takes your prayer into the presence of God. He is at the right hand of the Father. You don't have to go around in the hallway talking to secretaries when you got the boss. And 1 Timothy 2:5 said, we have one mediator between God and man, the man Jesus Christ. And that's what he's doing. He's greater than the angels. The angels are all the secretaries going around, but the boss is at the right hand, and it's yours free of charge if you believe it. As you can see, you cannot help but be amazed at the grace and the wisdom of God. From a man's point of view, it will seem foolish to God to become a man. Yet, when Jesus Christ became a man, he did not become inferior to angels, for in his human body, he accomplished something the angel could never accomplish, your salvation and my salvation. The reason that you and I go to heaven is not because we are Roman Catholics or we are Protestant or we are Muslims or Baha'i. The reason is because you have come to believe by the mercy of God that Jesus Christ took your place on Calvary's cross. And now Christ lives in your heart. And when God looks down on that day of the end of the world, he will look into your heart and see Jesus. No a Baptist name. No a Catholic name. No a Muslim name. Jesus. Jesus. The $4 million question. Are you ashamed to make Jesus Lord of your life? He's at the right hand of the Father. Will you be ashamed to make Jesus Lord of your life? Oh, may God bless us. That when we celebrate the Passover, the resurrection of Jesus. I don't want to mention the word Easter because Easter is the name of a star. It's a hidden, horrible holiday. Passover, Pasquale. In all the countries of the world, we have a Pasquale celebration. The celebration that the Son of God took the place of the Lamb for his people. And he died for his people. He died for Italians, for Chinese, from Japanese, from Argentinians, for everyone who believe in his name. God give you the power to believe. God causes you to believe. And you find yourself Son of God yourself. Not through an angel, through Jesus. May God bless us that we too have the assurance that we believe in him. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Jesus is powerful. Jesus is at the right hand of God. And to you, Jesus, we present this prayer. Oh, bless those who listen. That they too may have peace of heart and peace of mind. That their life is not founded upon a church, but upon the head of the church, Jesus Christ himself. Oh, God, bless them. Open their minds, they may understand. That it is not the church that gives salvation, but Jesus, Jesus, and Jesus alone. We meet in the church. We worship you, Christ. We love you. But because you love us first, oh God, bless the body that they may believe in Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, Terry. I think it was a real keynote after we saw the splendor and the greatness of Christ. This is the first Sunday of the month, and we do have the Lord's Supper, which is a representation of the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. He left this for us on the Last Supper that he took with Mark in the house of Mark. So we're going to call the deacons, Brother Jovi. I think is it the first time, Jovi? Is that right? The second time. All right, Brother Jovi. And then Brother Victor here.